Visit almost any dispensary, like this Starbuds in Louisville, and you'll end up standing in front of a massive assortment of multicolored containers.
Hi there, what can I get for you?
Edibles, joints, flower, vapes, and concentrates, all sold in uniquely designed packaging, made of all sorts of materials. Considering Colorado is predicted to sell around $1.8 billion of marijuana products this year, and that's a three-year low, the amount of these containers going out dispensary doors across the state is pretty staggering.
There's a tremendous amount of waste in this industry. Tremendous amount.
That's Bob Wadden, store director at the Louisville Starbuds. According to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, in 2019, the cannabis industry was producing around 7.3 million pounds of marijuana plant waste per year. The year before, Denver officials found cannabis grow operations accounted for 4% of the city's overall electricity use. But when Wadden says there is tremendous waste in the marijuana industry, he isn't even specifically referencing any part of that plant or energy waste. He's just talking about packaging. Packaging that, at least in Canada and possibly in the U.S., is outpacing the sale of actual cannabis products per gram.
Just thinking about how many joints are sold in the state every day. You know, we're constantly buying these cases of 600 to 900 units of tubes. They're called dupe tubes. And it's a waste. It's a big waste in this industry. And where are those tubes going? We're not reusing them. Obviously, we do it for the right reasons, for safety, right? There's got to be a better way.
Wana Brands, based in Boulder, is likely the largest edibles manufacturer in North America. And they are trying to find a better way.
We as Wana are dedicated to leaving this earth as best we can.
Joe Hodes, chief marketing officer for Wana Brands, says one way they're doing that is with special packaging, designed by a company called Calyx Containers. According to the Calyx website, an organic additive that attracts microbes helps to accelerate the degradation of their containers in biologically active landfills.
This is one of the newer products we just launched. It's our live rosin gummies. But you can see on the bottom,
calyxcontainers.com/patents, please recycle.
But ask Recycling Center leadership, like Marty Mage, deputy director at EcoCycle in Boulder, about those accelerated degradation containers.
Clearly, we have a vendor who is really trying to do the right thing.
And you'll likely be met with a sigh of disappointment. Mage and other recyclers have serious concerns about containers like these and others they categorize as bioplastics.
When you landfill them or if they become litter, biodegradable plastics will eventually, quote unquote, biodegrade in that they will break down and seemingly go away and disappear, which might sound great, but now we've introduced an even greater polluting threat to the environment. Because while the plant-based polymers biodegraded and disappeared, the petroleum-based elements didn't biodegrade. They're still there and are now microscopic microplastics.
Mage says humans can end up inhaling, consuming, or otherwise absorbing these microplastics. Calyx Containers distances their product from biodegradable plastics. The company claims their product breaks down into a biomass, not microplastics. However, EcoCycle's Mage adds that plastic recyclers are often reluctant to repurpose biodegradable and any bio-infused plastics because they're designed to be less durable than traditional petroleum-based plastics.
So then if we recycle biodegradable plastics, there is a concern that the Sustainable Product Coalition has and other plastic recyclers have that biodegradable plastics are purposely designed to be less durable than traditional petroleum-based plastics. So they have the potential to weaken the structural integrity of new recycled plastics. So while it sounds like a great idea, biodegradable plastics that use both plant-based and petroleum-based polymers really aren't better for the environment or for recycling, and in fact, they might be worse for both.
Joe Hodes says Wana is trusting Calyx to take on the heavy lift of staying in touch with what recycling experts suggest for eco-friendly containers. Wana is pretty busy keeping up with the massive amount of regulation in the cannabis industry. Regulation, Hodes says, is also a major contributor to the waste problem.
each state tends to like to mess with the regulations on a regular basis. So when we have the artwork that has, let's say, fruit on it, and a state says, well, we've decided that fruit is not a picture that we can have on the packaging, well, suddenly we're holding, you know, 50,000 units that already have fruit on it. That's where a lot of the waste in this industry comes into play, is every time there's a change to regulation, WANA and every other manufacturer out there probably has a lot of packaging that's already been built, and a lot of that ends up going to waste, and that's a real, real problem.
So while marijuana companies try to comply with regulations requiring everything from child-safe seals to containers you can't see into, it seems cannabis companies may be unknowingly producing millions of pounds of packaging unsuitable for single-stream recycling. And that's where companies like Green for Green come in.
We've captured roughly about 25 tons of plastic, and that's like specifically plastic. And then there's also glass, which weighs a lot more.
Sean Naughton is founder of Green for Green, a company that puts receptacles in dispensaries where consumers can dump their various cannabis containers. The Green for Green team then sorts through those containers and determines what's trash, what's only suitable for repurposing into something else, and what can be reused.
We created a proprietary process that removes the labels, then we clean them, sanitize them, rebox, and put back into the market.
But Green for Green, EcoCycle, and WANA Brands all seem to agree with something Bob Wadden from Starbuds Dispensary said earlier.
There's got to be a better way.
Two ideas come up again and again. Either creating a set of standardized, regulator-approved containers of various sizes designed for optimal recyclability, and or going for the zero-waste gold standard, reusable personal containers, likely made of glass, which is infinitely recyclable, that cannabis users can get refilled at the dispensary. Both ideas would require enormous effort from all parties to get approved, but there is unique interest within the cannabis industry to take on the challenge, considering the potential to initiate broader change in packaging norms within and outside the cannabis industry. Again, here's Marty Mach from EcoCycle.
As this industry is being born and coming up with solutions here in the state that other states, as they start to legalize, will be following, we here in Colorado could come up with a solution for the entire industry that others could follow suit, and we could create something that really could also set a great example for other industries and other packagers. And if we can work together with the cannabis industry to find a reuse refill model that we could then share elsewhere, it would be amazing. And I think there's tons of potential for us to do that.
Confusion over what containers are best for the environment and the proper way to dispose of packaging is a problem that touches all industries, not just the cannabis industry. That confusion is felt at all levels, from the consumer standing by the bins, all the way up to the product producer, and even at the recycling center. So maybe the message is this wild west of packaging, where every product is made out of who knows what, and recyclers scramble to take what they can, isn't working well for anyone, but certainly not the planet. And maybe, just maybe, the cannabis industry can lead the way to something better. For KGNU, I'm Hanalee Myers.